In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Pharisees and the chief priests convene a council, and they don't want to talk about the issue at hand. They skirt around it. They imply it. They talk in the abstract. But they don't want to speak out loud the truth that they all are thinking in their hearts, the truth that they all admit to themselves, the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, that the Messiah has come, and they want nothing to do with him. We do this to ourselves all the time. When we get a bad diagnosis from the doctor or from another loved one about themselves, we don't want to call the thing what it is. We talk about it in the abstract. That if we talk about it in the abstract, then maybe it's not all that real. Maybe there's a chance that somebody is mistaken somewhere. Because if we call the thing what it is, if we actually name the thing, then it's real. And that bit of bad news, whether it's for health or whatever else it might be, then it's real. And we have to contend with this thing that we don't want to. And so we try to hide it from ourselves. We try to fool ourselves, even as the Sanhedrin is trying to fool themselves. But we're not ignorant. We know what we're talking about. So also they. They're not ignorant. We oftentimes like to read the Gospels and think that they are, simply because they are opposed to Jesus. They are not ignorant men. They might be evil, they might be unbelievers, and so all the things that the Scriptures say about the foolishness of unbelief do apply to them, but they aren't ignorant. They know the Scriptures, they've studied the writings of their forefathers of previous generations, of those who said that the Messiah will come, and he will bring an end to the temple and to its sacrificial system, to the priesthood, that the whole nation will be changed, that the nation, which Caiaphas says, better that the whole nation than that the whole nation should die. He doesn't actually mean just the people of the Jews, but he's actually talking about the entire world. They know that the Messiah has come not just for the people of Israel, but that he has come to call all the people of God, dispersed throughout all the world, wherever they might be, Jew and Gentile, he has come to gather them all into one. And so they have convened a council. And not being ignorant of these things, they yet play dumb. And they don't want to call the thing what it is. Nobody wants to speak out loud the truth. That what in fact they are considering is the fact that Jesus isn't just some other troublemaker. That he's not just some other radical itinerant preacher wandering out in the desert. But that this is in fact the Messiah, long awaited by the people, long promised by God in the Scriptures, ever since the fall into sin, when God promised the seed of woman who would crush the serpent's head in Genesis 3:15, this one has now in fact come. And we hate him. And we want nothing to do with him. We want nothing to do with his ways, because we don't want our temple to come to an end. We don't want the sacrificial system to come to an end, because by it we make a pretty good living. By it we have a pretty good status and reputation, because that's ultimately what they don't want to end. They could give a rip about the people coming to offer sacrifices, but what they don't want to end is the honor and the prestige and the respect and the places of honor that go with it. When our Lord Jesus calls his 12 apostles, when he calls fishermen and tax collectors and zealots, and let's be honest, this term that St. Simon is called a zealot, in the eyes of Rome, he would be called a terrorist. When our Lord Jesus calls men like this to be his apostles, this is in fact a clear and decisive rebuke and repudiation of the Sanhedrin and of the chief priests. Because in truth, he should have had no need to call these 12. The priests were already in office. They should have continued carrying out their office and recognized him and immediately began proclaiming to the people, "Here he is. Here is the one to whom all these things point. This is the one who gives power and reality to the promise of these sacrifices and these rites." But they don't, and they will not, and they want nothing to do with him. So our Lord calls those who will. Our Lord calls those who will go out amongst the people and proclaim the fulfillment of all the scriptures from Genesis onwards, fulfilled in the flesh of Jesus Christ. When we have those difficult conversations at home, there always tends to be that one person who doesn't want to talk in innuendo and hidden speak, but wants to just be out in the open and say, "Look, we just have to deal with the thing head on." That's Caiaphas. And so he prophesies. Not from his own person, St. John tells us, but according to his office as high priest. And what he means by that is, it is Caiaphas to whom the lot has fallen to offer sacrifice, to kill innocent victims in place of the guilty, to press into the scapegoat all the sins of the people, and then to let it be delivered out into the wilderness, bearing those sins and be destroyed. The one whose duty it is to enter into the presence of God himself in the Holy of Holies and to sprinkle the blood of satisfaction and reconciliation. And so he says, it is far better that this one man should die than that the whole nation, that the whole world should perish. Caiaphas wants to hedge his bets. Because if Jesus is a troublemaker, then hey, we'd let him die and then we're free of this troublemaker and no problem. But if he is the Messiah, because hey, look, this is what the scriptures say, the Messiah has to die. But we're going to help him along with that before he can accomplish his purpose. Because while they are not ignorant men, they do not fully understand the scriptures. What they think they are preventing, the end of the temple and of their priesthood and the gathering of God's people from all the world, Jew and Gentile alike, what they think they are preventing by his death, they are in fact carrying out in accord with the will of God and according to the scriptures. Because the Messiah does these things by his death. He is the great and final once for all sacrifice. So yes, Caiaphas the high priest does offer the great and once for all sacrifice, the burnt offering and the peace offering for the sins of the whole world. He sends that scapegoat anointed by the high priest of the Jordan into the wilderness bearing the sins of all mankind, that he might die in the wilderness upon a cross. But by his death, by his body being pierced and lifted up, by his blood being poured out, there is reconciliation with God for mankind. And like a lamppost lifted up, our Lord Jesus from the cross and upon the cross draws all men to himself, Jew and Gentile, from the four corners of the world, so that men from every tribe, language, and nation, regardless of who their ancestors were, might be gathered into the one family of the sons of Abraham and be called the children of God and heirs of heaven in Christ. They're not ignorant men. but they are foolish when it comes to the things of the faith. For like the brothers of Joseph, what they meant for evil, God worked for good. They thought they were disposing of, if not a troublemaker, they thought they were getting rid of the Messiah himself before he could accomplish his purpose so that they could keep their power and reputation. But in fact, they sent him forth to do that which the Father has sent him to do, to fulfill the Scriptures and to reconcile us by his bleeding and his dying, by his groaning and his sighing. Thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee, because in him, by his death on the cross, we have life and liberty and salvation. This is the one in whom is our resurrection from the dead and liberty from sin, death, and the grave. We'll hear Caiaphas' prophecy again Friday, when John recounts it again for us in his passion narrative, as this prophecy of Caiaphas' comes to pass, where the Sanhedrin does, in ignorance, the ignorance of unbelief, fulfill an office greater than that of the brothers of Joseph. And the one man does indeed die for the sake of the world, that we who were scattered and far off and left in sins and trespasses might indeed be reconciled to God and called his dear heirs and beloved children. In Jesus' name, amen.